Hello guys, welcome to the Waffle Mafia podcast. This is the late night edition, so Johnson's not going to be too rowdy tonight. It is Graylin's birthday, so my number two son, my second born, celebrating his first birthday today. So it has been a wild day full of 1 year old madness. Worked a little bit late today, but we're going to talk about some things that's been going on in the Masters world. What's going on there, Candyman? What's happening? Mandingo Dine, how are you? Big Showito, what's going on, my friend? What's happening? Honesty Cook, how are you? Samisha, podcast time. It's time to get it in. So, we did the customary few minutes late, as usual. Appreciate you guys putting up with me, waiting on me, doing that thing. Like I said, Graylin's birthday, we've had a lot going on. What's up, Artemis Prime? What's going on, buddy? But had some weird stuff going on here around the house. I know this is not really podcast related, but it's kind of been slowing things up. It's very cold outside, hearing a lot of strange popping noises. I've got a big wooden deck that goes around the house, and been outside several times checking, trying to figure out what this noise is. It's really odd. Did it again like just seconds ago, so it was really strange. I live in a large field, if you will, mountainous, lush, beautiful area, but nobody around for miles, so very odd to hear things like that, and so it kind of had Taylor freaked out a little bit, and me freaked out a little bit, and we were trying to figure it out, and so I don't know, I've been outside, been around the house a couple times, no idea, unless boards are popping, pipes are popping, I don't know, but it's weird, but either way, I'm here for a few. We'll talk a little bit of Masters and do what we do. We'll have a pause for the calls to get us going here, friends. What's up, JD Hollyfield? What's going on, buddy? Thank you on the tie, Ruth. I appreciate that. We try to keep it classy and assy in here. I got the other half covered. Yeah, it's freaking cold. Hey, thanks, Travy Wheels. It's good to have you in here, man, for the first live podcast for yourself. So, Waffle Mafia Podcast, what is it? It is your weekly waffle wrap-up. It's our rundown of anything Waffle Mafia related as far as anything that's going on in the groups. And then anything that's going on in the Masters world that we've seen in the past week. We normally do a character spotlight. We talk about a character, run a character down. And then whoever we talk about for Waffle Mafia Podcast Wednesday, we do for Thirsty Thursday. So Thirsty Thursday being a little get-together that we have where we celebrate our love for waffles and pausing for the causing and ringing that freaking sword over there. At your lip gloss. You know what it'd be. Yeah, the boards pop. I don't know. It's just really strange, man. Welcome to the Frozen Ass Club tonight, JD. That's awesome, man, to have you in and have you in the room. So, some big things happening this past week. Obviously, you know, collectively, I think the entire community saw, of course, Super 7 dropping their bomb of things are finally are getting ready to be shipped out there. So that's pretty awesome. Good news from Super 7. They released some of the shots showing our stuff in the new packaging, which is very cool. Thank you for the happy birthday for Graylin. He has had an awesome day. He's had cake. He's been wild as a buck. Absolutely partied up until a little bit after 10. And then, of course, I was in here trying to get ready for the podcast, and we got this popping board madness going on out here, or just what it, aliens or whatever it may be. I don't know, man. It ain't trolling magic, I know that. So either way, it's I'm not imagining it. It's actually happening. So, but either way, so we saw Super 7 had some pretty cool stuff that they showed us this week, and they showed our figures in the packaging. And right away, of course, everybody jumping on it, and you know you're going to, you know everybody's going to. We're going to try to pick the things apart. Guys, with any of this stuff, there's always going to be things that you personally like about it, things you don't. And a lot of people are quick to jump at Super 7, I think, with this and say, oh, we don't like this, we don't like that, we don't like this. Super 7, honestly, guys, if you look at what's being done versus some of the production sales, versus some of the prototype artwork that's being used for this stuff, they're nailing it pretty spot on. Now, as far as some of the issues with the hips, with the birthing hips, I understand that. Hulk, that looks odd. Now, maybe that's right. Maybe that's what we're getting. Maybe that was prior to the retooling and the fixing of the hips of the crotch gap. So, I don't know, or the thigh gap. We'll see. But either way, I mean, the figures still look glorious. They look awesome on the cards and in the packaging. The Filmation characters look really nice, or the Club Grayskull, if you will, Collector's Choice, I always get it mixed up, but Collector's Choice, of course, I do believe the continuation of our Classics line, and then Club Grayskull being the Filmation figure, so those look really glorious in the packaging. If you haven't seen those, I don't know where you've been. You've not been in the He-Man community, you're active in Lucky Legends, because that stuff's all over the place. Triclops, they did, I mean, in my opinion, if you look, if that's what we get. Now, sometimes lighting and that kind of thing will really throw those test shots off. So, you know, it may be one of those things that when you do get the Triclops in hand, the green is a lot darker than what the picture made it look like because of a flash or a glare or something that actually made it into the production picture that they didn't mean to. Now, color-wise, there was some pictures posted on some other pages that would support the fact that if it was the lighter green and the more neon or brighter green, I guess, it's kind of accurate to some other things too. So, yes, the dark, I love the dark green look of Triclops when they showed him, when the four horsemen gave us a little peek at what they had going on there, and Super 7 showed us what was coming. So, you know, it looked really nice. Whether they've strayed from that or if it's just a plastic issue or a coloring issue, I don't know. But we will know soon, because they are on a boat. And of course, once they get off the boat and they make it through customs and everything's done there, then hey, they can ship out to us. So they're looking for early February or February. I saw a couple dates, that don't quote me, I don't know for absolute sure, haven't looked at it, but very cool. Other things, not Filmation, I hear you, Delaney. See what's going on. The armor's too bright, Monroe, that's what we're talking about. So, you know, we don't know. We don't have them in hand. If we're not holding one, we don't know. The pictures would indicate that, yes, it looks like that is definitely off. So until we have them, we don't know. I'm hoping that maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a lighting issue. And then hoping, too, with the, with the thigh gap issue, I mean, we'll let it be what it be. And either way, I'll be happy. So February 20th, seen that for the ship date. Big show. That's why they make paint. I hear you, Dagon. I mean, it is a customizer's dream. My gosh, it's beautiful. I mean, I'll tell you that. The figures are glorious. I love the way they look. You understand the complaints. I'm happy that the lines are being made. I personally feel the same way, and I think that, honestly, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not singling anybody out, or let's pause for the calls and we'll bang it on out. Not calling anybody out by any means. But I'm just saying, I think that a lot of us are spoiled to a degree that we are quick to jump at all the things that we would have liked to seen done, or we would have wanted Super 7 to do. And the truth is, I mean, you can't make everybody happy. We got to be happy that this line is still being made. I mean, Maddie passed this thing over, and, you know, it's like, hey, they do see some future and some things, and we're hearing some things, and obviously there's a lot of activity with the She-Ra thing, and you know how that affects He-Man greatly, I just don't know. That's all a part of the world, and it's a part of the canon, so you know, it is what it is. Anytime I feel like that we are in the spotlight, be it Princess of Power, or be it Masters of the Universe, or you know, anything related to the He-Man line, I think it really increases the visibility on the property, and that's what we want. So, and that's what I mean. Let's see. Would anybody be happy to just get it? Okay. If Filmation Skeletor looked like NA Skeletor, it's Filmation Triclops. Just make it look like the cartoon if you want an amalgamation of all. Okay, so I agree with you, Delaney. I mean, like I said, to each their own, and everybody gets their own opinion. You can, you know, you can think what you want. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I agree. If you're going to make a Filmation character, then yes, make it look like Filmation. I mean, if obviously to your point, I mean, I don't want my NA He-Man not to have a ponytail. I mean, come on, man. It is what it is. I mean, so the idea being that, you know, I'm personally just happy that we're getting it, and I'm happy that the line is still continuing and that somebody is passionate about the figures and putting them out there. So, hey, what's up, Sexstone? What's going on, buddy? So, you know, I think it's cool. I think it's awesome that they are doing a lot of research into the fact that they're trying to get it right. And I really do feel like, you know, over and over and over, yeah, I watch people bash Super 7, and I don't, you know, at times I'm frustrated as well. At times we get aggravated for what we're waiting on. But I'm glad that there's somebody there that has a passion about the property and actually wants the property to continue and wants to continue making the toys. So, I mean, I can personally, or at least I see it in Brian Flynn, when he talks about Masters of the Universe, he's passionate about the product. He likes it. So, you know, it's one of those things. As long as limbs aren't falling off and they represent the line in true form, then I'm happy. The thigh gap issue needed fixing, but other than that, I agree, Travy Wheels, it's like, that thigh gap issue, I mean, you can't leave that, but, you know, if that's what we got, it's what we got. I just wish more of the female characters had the thigh gap. Yeah, exactly. So, that particular tooling, Backman, that would have been perfect. That's perfect for all the Red Light girls. So, if Super 7 ever wants to do a Red Light edition, and maybe bring out some of the figures that we've had in the Red Light, you know, Machine Gun Kelly approves, and as long as she gets her 10% cut, she has no issues with it at all. So, pause for the calls, and we'll keep getting it in. Just a little update. Did a whole lot of shipping, my friends. So, everything's out on the road. That includes a Rotan, Mr. Espinoza, and of course, your crazy ass box, Big Show, because I had some issues at the counter with your box. Your box is massive, so it's cool. But your stuff also on the way. So everybody that had some wins this past week in the Waffle Mafia, you guys got some stuff coming from me. Last week, we did Thirsty Thursday. We did the 8-back edition. So basically what we did was we just did a rundown of the 8-back. So in some way, everything that was given away was related to the 8-back. We gave away, like, obviously 9, 10 different things because we did hit some different wheels. But the big things going out, Merman Classics that went out to Wily Cat, did a Geldor that went to Mr. Itis. That was the Titty Nipples package. That also involved the hashtag stickers and also involved Geldor in having a Miller Lite. So that was a little package going out to John Itis. Please be sure to share that with the group when you get it, sir. Merman Pop out to Sugar Mama P did the double Stratos, the blue and the red for the twins. So Dano had his twins, got the blue and the red Stratos. Did a Beastman Pop, did a He-Man Dorbs, did the Super Tight Tila and Jade Tila. Man-at-Arms Dubla went out to Kevin and Arms because we caught that on a respin from Mr. Dagon. It went from Thirsty Thursday over to Syrupy Saturday. We did a respin with that. That went out to Kev. King Grayskull, SDCC 2008 exclusive, the Syrupy Saturday Night with the King. We did that. E-Daddy took the win. Did a Beastman pop over to Sammy. Z-Wheel, we walked on the Z-Wheel a little bit, so we've had some new Z-Wheel stuff come up. I don't know if you guys saw the picture earlier in Legends, but this is one of the fellows that will be joining the Z-Wheel. This is the Ice Armor Skeletor somewhat. He's very cool, man. Got the clawed toes, got the white feet matching up with them boots with them furs, and looking so good. He make a grown man purr. So there you go, old Skelly. That's going to be on the Z-Wheel as well. A Little Merman action that had kind of the Z mashup with the armor. So that came in today, and that was pretty cool. Shared that earlier. The pity prizes, man. The pity prizes are not that bad. Speaking of massive boxes, how's that? That's what it is. He is sweet. That's the truth. The cool thing about him is he comes, obviously, with the Icer head. So if you want to rock the Icer head, you can do so. He can be Icer with the clawed feet and Skelly armor. It's pretty cool. He comes with this awesome, just straight-up Scully head. So that's pretty badass. That pops on there, and Mr. Z's done some fitting for the bottom of that so that he does fit on there. And then took this awesome Demo Man. Oh, shit. Come on, Johnson. Hold it together. We got this Demo Man head that he came in and did some sculpting on the bottom and kind of sculpted him this beastly, ghastly, ghouly-looking mouth. So that's pretty badass, too. So those will be added to the Z-Wheel, and he will be on there for tomorrow night if we get into the Z spots. I did a late Saturday night drunk rambling where we did a donation from good old Ruddy Buddy. So Paul Rudman did a donation. He had won a Rotar and Twistoid that was mint in box. Went ahead and gave that out to anybody that wanted to get in. If you wanted your name on the wheel, all you had to do was comment. So we even put, you know, people's moms. So we spun a wheel there, and Trinity Hendricks took that home, and that was on Saturday night. All right, we got a few more minutes. We're going to get through this tonight. We've got to talk about the Trap Jaw. So good old Trap Jaw, that's going to be our guy for tonight. And, of course, whoever we talk about on Waffle Mafia Wednesday, that's who pops up on Thirsty Thursday. So, here he is, old Trap Jaw in all of his classics glory. So there he be. Beautiful figure, guys. Really, Four Horsemen, you can never say enough about their sculpts. Every tiny little detail, and we'll talk about some of those details. Got the rivets on the belt here, so the throwback there. Always cool nods to the history of the figure and the background and the story behind the figure. So they never miss out on these small details and the things that really make the Classics line stand out, you know, at least in my opinion, above the other lines. So with him, he does have the black Roboto gun, which is pretty sweet. So that's actually going to go with him as well. He does have his claw. He does have his hook. Of course, he's wearing the gun attachment as it be. I do have a Roboto claw, but it is not the black one. But that one will go with him as well. And then he does have his other arm. So that arm, of course, if you have the other arm and the other head, you can transform him into Cronus. And who is Cronus? So we have to talk about Trap Jaw and the origins of Trap Jaw and who he is and where he came from in order to understand Cronus and who he is and where he came from. So This is the Waffle Mafia Podcast. I do believe this is Lucky Legends number 23. And old Trap Jaw has always been a special villain to me. So I love Trap Jaw. I think he's one of the greatest henchmen, villains, whatever you want it to be. Just one of the coolest characters that was ever introduced into the He-Man world. And he was introduced early on. Now, obviously, he wasn't a part of the first wave of figures that came out, but he was a part of that second wave in 83. Let's have a little pause for the calls, you see. Still don't have a classics Trap Jaw. Well, tomorrow night could be your night there, Travy Wheels. You never know. But what was Trap Jaw known for, yo? In 83, released as the Evil and Armed for Combat. That was how he was listed. So he's evil, he's armed for combat, he's ready to get at it, son. He's also known as the Wizard of Weapons. He has multiple names, obviously. We just named a couple. There's Trap Jaw, there's Cronus, there's Jaw, and he even has moonlighted with another name as well. Let's see, what was that one? Good Lord. Jumped right out of my name bank. Where are you, man? Come on, dude. Give me that other name. Johnson, get it together. Can't even read your own notes, son. It's really not important until we get to it. So, you know, we'll talk about it over there, I guess, when we figured out, oh, come on, God, what was his name? Trojan, thank you, good Lord, my gosh. So Trojan, another name for Trap Jaw. This popping boards and aliens thing's got me all screwed up tonight, guys. Okay, so here we go. In 1982, DC Motu Minis. Now, that's how most of us were introduced to a lot of the characters that we played with. So, you got a figure, you read their mini, you were like, oh my gosh, and you kind of learned who that character was and what their background was. Trap Jaw, very different, because, as we've talked about before, Trap Jaw looks very different in the mini comics from what the actual figure ended up. I thought his name was Bob. Johnny Attachments. His other name is Steve. We do have a Steve in the group. It's Scuba Steve. So we can't call him Steve. But so from the early iterations of Trap Jaw. Oh, I also have the Classics Trap Jaw ring. Bam. So that will go with him as well. So in the early iterations of Trap Jaw, very different figure now, or very different character. This is the cover. This is the Menace of Trap Jaw. And if you guys will refer to your Motu Bible here, your mini comic Motu Bible, you've got Trap Jaw coming through Grayskull, blasting some power, blowing He-Man back, blowing Skeletor back. But what's very interesting is when he very first comes out, we see a different Trap Jaw. He is this greenish, yellowish type color. He's got them boots with them furs. He's got his mechanical arm, got the loop through the head. So, you know, there are a lot of things that kind of look familiar as far as the toy that you got, but there are some things that also are not quite so familiar. This character is a different color. His shorts, his undershorts, his furry loins, they're different colors. He has, you know, his mechanical arms pretty much the same. His jaw is a bit different in how he was drawn. But how did we get from this green skin, different looking Trap Jaw to the actual toy that we ended up getting? Well, truthfully, it's really not that far off from the drawings or the concept art that was responsible for creating Trap Jaw. He wasn't actually Trap Jaw to begin with, and as we have found through most of these discussions that we've done on the podcast, most of the figures went by a different name that was used as sort of, I guess, a kick around name. They were using you know, a prototype name or whatever it may have been, just concept name for the figure. So he started out as X-Man. So X-Man, that concept very close to the interdimensional criminal that we actually ended up getting in the mini comics. Now, in the mini comics, like I said, they look very different, but that is not what translated into the toy. So why the breakdown? Why were things changed? Honestly, we don't quite know. But we do know that as he was introduced as a figure, as a villain, he was introduced very powerful, and they kind of held true, honestly, to his to the way that he was presented in most of the canon, only changing a thing here or there, but with Trapjaw more adding to who he was instead of taking things away or changing things. So I really like the background of Trapjaw in a sense that he's always been a criminal. What's up, David Schuler? What's happening, my friend? So, what's up, Espinoza? What it do? But yeah, so he's always been a criminal. He's been a criminal, an interdimensional criminal from the get-go. He was a cyborg. He had the iron loop, and of course we're talking about the depiction from the mini-comics. This is the very first depiction of Trapjaw. Had the iron loop on the top, had the metal mouth, blast of energy from his gun arm attachments, had multiple different types of weaponry that he could use. Now, interestingly enough, he was brought into Eternia by accident. Skeletor opened up a portal, brings him through. What's up, buddy? And as he comes through this interdimensional portal, he ends up coming through Grayskull. And as he does that, he's imbued with the power of the castle. Okay, so making Trapjaw much more evil than he already is and much more powerful than he already is. So the idea being, as he can sense the power of the castle, and he knows that he has the power, he's no longer afraid of He-Man or Skeletor. He makes short work of Teela and Man-at-Arms. Trapjaw was introduced as a super formidable foe. He was a criminal. Oh my God, guys, in 1983, when you're telling kids that somebody's a criminal, you better look out. There are neighborhood watch programs. You can't be a criminal. That's a bad guy. But you're telling kids right off the bat that this guy's a criminal from another planet. And in the very first altercation that this cat is ever introduced in, he is not only imbued with the power of Castle Grayskull, but he also has, it takes the combined might of He-Man and Skeletor together to take him down. So, for me, the Trapjaw that I saw in the mini comic that I read was definitely not this guy that I ended up seeing later in Filmation. Because in Filmation, even though he was pretty apt at everything that he did, he was still a henchman. He was a lackey. But I also knew that at the end of the mini-comic, after he was defeated and he was sort of broken, Skeletor is walking away with this broken warrior who's laying across his arms. And he says, I now claim you. Interestingly enough, I understood as a kid that now he works for him because he kicked his ass. So now he works for him. And he's a bad guy. He's a criminal. So why not? It's okay that he got beat. It's okay that He-Man had to whoop him, right? He's a criminal from another planet. He's only here because he was being chased by his pursuers and couldn't get away. But, then this is the guy we got to play. So, now, moving on, again, like I said, we don't really know. He's a complete opposite in the Filmation cartoon. He's a doofus. I agree, Monroe. He was very capable in some ways. Skeletor trusted him to do a lot of things in Filmation. He even kept up kind of his secondary base of operations that he used with Lord Mask when he teamed up with him. He was often teamed with Beast Man. Skeletor entrusted him to a lot of things. in Filmation. So I do feel that, you know, there was at least some respect for the character there, that he was able-bodied enough to be the guy who screwed it up for Skeletor, because you can't have the big guy taking the hit, right? Well, either way, we ended up with this guy, and this is the toy that we ended up getting. Blue-skinned, you know, very different, the purple, very bright, and was always one of my favorite characters figures as a kid. Not necessarily because I connected with him through the mini comic, because I didn't. He was a little bit different. But I'll tell you what reined it in for me and what made it okay was this loop on the top of his head and his jaw. Because as long as he had this loop on the top of the head, he could come swinging in on a line and be escaping. You know, he could still be a criminal. And as long as he had this right here, even if he'd lost his attachments, he still had a blaster arm, and that's what it was supposed to be, right? So, Trapjaw for me, as a kid, very cool figure. But as far as Filmation goes, like Monroe said, they did make him out to be a little bit of a doofus. He didn't really get the respect that he deserves. And I feel like that probably carried throughout most of the canon with Trapjaw, because, yeah, he is kind of gimmicky. And why? Because he has an iron jaw. So we have to go back to, where did that come from? Where did the concept of that come from? Truthfully, this wasn't the first time we'd seen this, and it isn't the first time that we've borrowed from the Big Jim line. So Big Jim actually had a prototype figure that was unreleased, unproduced, but he was called Iron Jaw. And Iron Jaw was basically fashioned after a James Bond villain. So the James Bond villain, Iron Jaw, or Jaw, I think was his name, was just Jaw, or Jaws was his name. So basically they had just taken a Big Jim figure, a concept that had been copied off of the James Bond stuff, and they wanted to continue to use that concept, to use that idea of the man with an iron jaw. And you know, that was interesting at the time, and in the 80s that was cool, so you know, that's what we did. So that's where the concept of him came from. But it is not, again, the first time that we'd borrowed from the Big Jim line. We have Battle Cat, we have Panther, obviously. We have, who else do we borrow from Big Jim? Gygor, actually, even though it was, not necessarily Gygor, well, we'll get into that later. But it has to do with the gorilla and the concept art that actually was, or is, Lord Cholo, but is not. I don't know. It's cool. It's cool. We'll talk about all of it eventually, I promise. Let's pause for the calls and let's get this thing done, because I got to get in here and put my arms around Mama's son. She's a little bit worried because she's hearing a popping too. And I don't know. It's done it another time or two. It's aliens, guys. And if I'm gone tomorrow, y'all know what it be. And y'all won't be having no coffee talk with me. It is Thirsty Thursday tomorrow night, but the dawn comes with the light, and we have to go in and have us a little bit of that Covfefe, baby, because that's what it is. Quit running your mouth. Drink your fizz. All right, so here we go. Let's see, what else do we have? Now, the X-Men. X-Man concept that I was talking about. What'd you miss, Joe Motto? You didn't miss much. That explains the Cronus head packed in the Classics version. It actually does explain it a little bit too, Monroe, here in just a minute when we talk about the MYP portrayal of him and why that Cronus head is packed in there. Gives a little bit of that backstory, but you know that. So you're telling somebody that explains the Cronus head. But yeah, so it's very cool. There's a lot of more stuff in the background, and we'll get to it. But I'm going to run through it kind of quick because we got to get through this thing. And speaking of Joey Motto, who just came in the room, Joey Boom Boom, appreciate you being in. Joe actually did a custom female Classics figure. So you have Trapjaw in his beautiful Classics form, but you also had Jawbreaker, which was Joe's version of a female Trapjaw named Jawbreaker. So y'all check that out. If Joey Boom Boom, if you don't mind, share that picture if you get a chance, or if you have it handy. It's very cool. So first called X-Men, had the articulated jaw, had the pulley loop, had the four attachments. So he did come with attachments in the prototype. He was going to have, or not the prototype, I'm sorry, but the concept art. He had a robot arm. He had a claw. He had an iron fist. He had a grapnel, which is basically the grappling hook. And then he had a hand. And then he came with a rifle that went into the robotic hands. So he was sort of, again, always conceptualized as the master of weapons. And not the master of weapons, because there's somebody that's a master of weapons. But armed and evil. Evil and armed. Always having all of these attachments and things. So in the concept art, he had a hairy chest. He had them boots with them furs. So when we saw the transfer over, Super 7 did the awesome throwback that we're going to talk about soon, because I really hoped we'd have it in time for the podcast, but we don't. But we'll have it soon. Finally been able to get my hands on some things and get my jaw on some things and take a big bite out of three of them cats that we ain't done, so we're going to have a look at that too. But that's why you see that on from the Super 7 version too. So you've got that nice throwback with the furry boots. You've got the colors for the loincloth, and then again the color of the skin, the metallic jaw, which is quite different than the normal trap jaw, obviously both being metallic, but the silver bottom metallic jaw on that. So again, we talked about the Big Jim art. There were a few changes as far as you'll see if we look at the classics version of Trap Jaw. We have the skull and crossbones here. We also have the studs around the belt. So if you look back at our mini comic version and what you'll see in the artwork, and I think this is a pretty good one where you can see it, you'll look closely, you'll see a ram head there, and we don't have the studs on the belt there. So a little bit different, but they're in the concept art. When we actually got over to the concept art of Trap Jaw and the colors had changed, he did have a belt, but it didn't feature anything on the belt, and it did have the studs on the edges. So basically what they've done here is, in the later version, we got the skull and crossbones. It was then placed on the belt for the super, or for the classics version, with the studs thrown in there by the Four Horsemen. So very nice attention to detail and throwing something in there cool that we never had before. Now, speaking of the cross cell arts, the cross cell art being different, the cross cell art looks, we have this figure, but what is very interesting is if you look at the cross cell art, we do see instances that will show up on the backs of the mini comics where Trap Jaw is missing the bottom jaw, and he's also like this, missing his black piece that covers his chest. So because it got left out there, there is a later prototype that's done in the 83 catalog that shows him featured in that manner and actually that way as a toy. So you've got no bottom jaw and missing this black cover piece. So very interesting that that ended up translating somehow onto the back of a mini comic, and then also landing as a prototype version in the 83 consumer catalog. So very cool stuff for you variant folks that like to grab things that are very different. There is some of the minis that have him on the back with no jaw. We also of course see him all over the place. Trap Jaw, very prominent figure in the Golden Books, very prominent. The Point Dread record, he's in that. Trouble at Castle Grayskull. Powerpoint Dread. I don't know that he's in Powerpoint Dread, but Trouble at Castle Grayskull, I do believe, is where he gets his jaw frozen. He-Man splashed him with some water. One of my favorite stories that I can't tell you which story it is, so, you know, appreciate me for that. Again, pause for the calls, and we're going to bring her on home. We'll do that beer, and then we got to get going. Let's see. So, in Filmation, old Metal Mouth, he became known as a gruff-voiced mechanic and inventor. So, he's a mechanic inventor in Filmation. Dubbed the Wizard of Weapons. created all of his arm attachments, could bite through almost anything. He was known for eating Eternium, which would give him strength, so he was able to ingest Eternium, and that would make Trapjaw stronger, give him sort of He-Man-like strength. Like I said again, worked often with Beastman. In 84, he was featured in the World Annuals, and interestingly enough, they added to his backstory that he was imprisoned in the Prison Star. So again, holding true throughout most of the canon that he is a criminal. So he is being held at the Prison Star, and of course he escapes. In the 84 German audio plays, so those cool German audiobooks, that's where we got Anti-Attorney He-Man. He was an inventor known as Jaw. And it's kind of a sad story here where he actually, a child is chained down about to be hit by Skeletor's tank, and he dives in to save the child. He gets hit. Loses the jaw and the arm. Skeletor comes in, cybernetically enhances him, replaces his arm, fixes him up, and wipes his memory of his past life. And so from that point forward, he is Trapjaw and serving Skeletor. So really a different story there. He showed off his acting chops. He was Trojan from the Isles of the Star Bridges, but it never did actually say whether Jaw was from the Star Bridges or the Isles of the Star Bridges, or if it was just a ruse that he was using as Trojan. You know, Trapjaw showing off his acting chops, which he has done at other times in Filmation. He has shown off what an actor he can be. I've seen him in sailor outfits and whatnot. 85, he made pop appearances in Princess of Power. But it really wasn't until 2002, till MYP, that we really got the upgrade, the redesign, the, you know, sort of awesome look to the figure that you could always imagine Trapjaw being, and being the figure that you think he is. But then they dumb him even further than he was before. Now, yeah, he's a formidable foe. And, of course, the way he's introduced, he comes walking out of the darkness and he's changing attachments on his hand. Or he's not changing them. They're switching in and out. So, you know, cybernetically he can change that. And, you know, he's got the scars. And he's an awesome, a very awesomely portrayed figure in his design and how he was shown in that artwork. But then to have him dumbed down and dull-witted, it really just took away a lot from Trapjaw, where I do feel like had he been portrayed a bit more in the way that he was in the mini-comic as far as being, you know, this super formidable foe that required this much energy to battle and was from another dimension, was a, you know, criminal cyborg. I mean, I really like that depiction of him. However, the MYP version built a whole new backstory for who he was, and that part is super important as well. And it's really important as far as the story that I enjoy. I like the idea of Cronus. So what we see in MYP, when we open up and we have this assault, on the Hall of Wisdom. Good Lord, it took me a second to think of what it's called. When we have this assault on the Hall of Wisdom, and we see Randor's faction squaring off against Keldor's faction, you see Cronus. So this is actually Trapjaw before he's Trapjaw. And so you do see Cronus there, and he was in the Keldor's ranks and fighting. So it was very cool to see that they expanded that backstory somewhat of who he was prior to being the menace known as Trapjaw. Also, in 2002, we got an MVC, those MV creations. And what we saw there was, it was Skeletor versus Trapjaw, and it gave an origin of where Trapjaw came from. He was, rallying against Skeletor. Skeletor defeats him in battle, tears off the jaw, destroys the arm, and, you know, again, saves him, puts him back together. Trapjaw creates his own weapons for himself, but Skeletor saves him, puts him back together. But he is very disloyal to Skeletor, and in this particular telling would betray him at any time, just sort of get him back. It's like holding the chip on their grudge on the shoulder. Now, in the 2002 MVC, he's a criminal from Infinita, and in that one, we see, and actually as we get into MYP, he's very loyal to Skeletor, so he has no issue being loyal to Skeletor. So, very cool, very big rundown of Trapjaw. I appreciate you guys hanging with me this evening. We got Pop, and I got to get out. We got to get this thing done. Thanks for hanging with me, for us doing what we do. It's been the Waffle Mafia Podcast. It's been fun there, dudes. We finished the beer. We're done tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. It's thirsty, all right?